I've been waiting for this day. Are you ready? 76 trombones and clarinet, 101. Anyway, I was going to sing that for you this morning because I turned 76. I said, when I get 76, I'm going to sing 76 trombones. However, how many men signed the Declaration of Independence? How many? This number of men swore and gave of themselves and their fortunes, their time, their life, and every aspect to principle that they believed were God-ordained principles, were eternal principles, absolute truth, and at the top of that list was the unalienable rights of all people to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. How many? Huh? 56. 56 men. Who was the first one to put his name on it? John Hancock. Now, we know that Declaration of Independence, okay? How many of you know where it was signed? Where? Philadelphia. Very good. That question was asked to a bunch of young people, and they all, one little boy raised, I know where it was signed, where? On the bottom. Now, those 56 men, if you will, believed that the unalienable right to life was God-ordained, and that it was instituted the foundation upon which this country had been built. And many historians will tell you that this world, this country, is the greatest country that ever has been on the face of the earth up until this time. Now, I often wondered myself and asked myself this question. I wonder how these 56 men would have voted on the aspect of abortion. I wonder how they would have voted. The right of life is an unalienable right that is God-ordained. I don't think I have to question how they would have voted. You see, because to reject that principle of the right to life is the cornerstone of our freedom. I said, the cornerstone of freedom is to understand the unalienable right to life. And if you reject that, and you refuse to acknowledge all aspects of life, you are sanctifying and you are putting in course tyranny. I don't care what area it comes from, the end result will be tyranny. And any country of history where they considered killing their little ones, killing babies, and you can study it, those countries don't exist anymore. I said they're gone. And they're not even in history books anymore, hardly ever talked about, have you ever read about. But on July 4th, 1776, this is what they said. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Isn't that amazing? I mean, where did all this prejudice come from when they said all men, black, white, doesn't matter, educated, uneducated, are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights? Now, do you know what the word unalienable means? It means it cannot be transferred, nor can it be taken away from anyone. No one has the authority to take that right away from any person, any aspect, or transfer it one way or the other. It is rightly given. It is not to be taken away. It cannot be taken away. Isn't that amazing? The right to make a pursuit. Well, what does it mean to pursue? Well, two men escaped from New York prison. Are you aware of that? And what did they do? They pursued them. hundreds of people while combing woods and combing forests and going through buildings and doing whatever, because they were out to pursue. That means that they were out to capture, to overtake, to obtain, to apply every energy and all every aspect of energy towards accomplishing their purpose. And they said they were going to get them. And, well, they did. But do you hear what I just said? Pursue. Pursue means that you have a desire, an earnest, unbelievable, God-right desire, and you are pursuing to obtain. You want to accomplish. You want, and you will put forth all the energy that there is within you that you could have life and liberty and happiness. That's the right that you have to pursue. Life? Well, we know what life is, don't we? You're Christians, people. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Isn't that what he said? Life, okay? What does it mean to have abundant life? Something that is abundant, the background means overflowing. The Lord is my shepherd. My cup runneth over. This is the life that Jesus is talking about. It's an overflowing abundance of life. It's life vibrating. It's a quality of life. It's life to its fullness. That's what Jesus came promising you and me, was a life that you and I could live to its fullness. Overflowing, bubbling over in the aspects of it. John 1:4, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Have you seen it? Have you experienced it? How do you get up in the morning? You get up alive or wishing you were dead? You crawl out one end of the bed and wish you should have crawled out on the other? Do you say, good Lord, this morning, or do you say, good morning, Lord? How do you get out of bed? Every day God gives us, we're to rejoice in it. You know what it says? Rejoice. And then Paul said, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. We're talking about eternal life too, aren't we? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Isn't that interesting? The whole aspects of life. You see, because God gave us life in the first place. Physical life. Didn't he? And he has the power to take or to allow us to live another day. You know that, don't you? But we're not here as Christians thinking about life. For me, my Bible teaches me, and I agree with the principle absolutely 100%. For me, to die is gain. For me to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord and with all those who have gone on before me. Man, that is an unbelievable taste of life, isn't it? Eternal life. Isn't that what we're living for? Isn't that the ultimate principle of promise that God, he said that I have come that you might have life. He was talking more than anything about eternal. You see, that eternal life already sprung up inside of you. When the seed, the eternal seed, which does not pass away, that is eternal. Heaven and earth will, but this word will not. You have this eternal seed. You have eternal life already dwelling in you. You receive at your birth into the kingdom of God the eternal Holy Spirit. And that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead has promised by God, that same Spirit will raise you and me from the dead someday. We have eternal life already dwelling in us, the eternal seed, the eternal Holy Spirit. But not only that, you have the eternal aspect of God's eternal nature because the love of God has been poured into your heart. And God's love is eternal. Now abide faith, hope, love. The greatest is love. Why? Because faith is going to become sight. Hope will become reality. But love is an ongoing aspect of the very nature of our Father who is in heaven. You're already an eternal being. The only thing that keeps you from experiencing that is that thing you call your body. Thank God you have one, right? I would not have deprived my five children of enjoying life that they might enjoy the aspect and the promise of eternal life. But anyway, he did warn us, Jesus did. John 12:15, he said to those whom he is speaking, beware and be on guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance of things does his life consist of his possessions. But that's what makes America tick. That's what we're pursuing. It's what we can buy, what we can have, what this life has to offer. People think that the more they have, the happier they'll be. Well, let me sit down with you sometime if you want to, and we'll study all the rich people of the world that were not Christian and see how they died. See how miserable they were. Have you noticed all these great Hollywood ongoing people who have money, wealth, and fame, that they're alcoholics, drug addictions, they died by suicide? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, if there is anyone who ought to be happy walking the face of the earth, it ought to be Hollywood. But Hollywood isn't that, is it? Is it? I said, is it? Then why can't we learn from the aspect that life does not consist in what kind of home you live in, what kind of car you drive, how many clothes you got hanging in your closet, how many pairs of shoes you got, whatever. That is not life. Life is who you are and your relationship with God. And that's what Jesus came to give us. Not only life, but he came to set us free. He came to give us liberty. The message of this book is freedom. Isn't it? Isn't it? Patrick Henry, you remember him? He's famous for 7 words. You know what the 7 words were? You guys went to school. Give me liberty or give me death, right? Those words are famous. I mean, they are the famous words that were spoken. You know what church building they were spoken in? St. John's Church in Philadelphia. You know what the date was? 1775. 1 year before 1776. He said, and the Virginians took the message. Those people in Virginia stood up and began to rally. And they would rather win and die than have and lose the freedom. Yeah. Today, we got thousands and millions of Americans who are saying, give me. Give me. I remember my grandson who was in this one play, and there was this big plant that kept growing. Feed me. Feed me. Remember that? Anybody remember that? Mike, you remember that? You remember that? Huh? Yeah. I mean, think about it. Give me. And we're losing our liberty. I said we're losing our freedom. When over 50% of the American people are living off on welfare today, there is something wrong in America. When I was on my senior trip, I got the privilege of going up into the top of the Statue of Liberty. I looked out her eyes, and there were numerous boats and things. And the tour guides said, every day, there are people coming from other countries, and the first thing they want to see, the first thing they want to lay their eyes on is go into New York Harbor and see the Statue of Liberty. That's what they come to see. Millions and millions of people visit it every year because they said and understood that as Americans, we were free. A people of liberty. You know what? Go on your websites and find out how many people in other countries now are very concerned about what's going on in our country and how we're losing. They're praying for us. You know that? They're concerned because they see us as a people, losing our freedom. Have you heard this? My name is Liberty. I was never, and I will never die. I've been chained, beaten, and oppressed. But I've always lived to rise again. My home is anywhere men pay the cost to be free. Brotherhood is in my voice. Endurance is in my step. A great part of God is in my teaching. Long ago, I caught a glimpse of heaven in my cause, and I have never let the light of that holy destiny go out. I have flickered before dictators and tyrants, but even in darkness, men have seen my light. I am liberty. I am yours so long as you desire me, and prove this desire by how you live and die. I can be made weak. History proves it. And that's been shown the way. You let your right to vote the foolishness of you as a people. You do not worship the God who gave you that right. Life will crumble around you. When you turn to the worship of pleasure and you become a people of greed, when you make government your God and pray for a holy handout from on high with such neglect, I cannot help become weak and possibly die. But use my strength, and we will both be strong. Give me your heart, and we will both thank God for your freedom. Give me men and women who don't take me for granted, and I'll give you a tomorrow beyond your wildest dreams. I am liberty. My statue of liberty is the cross. Paul said, I know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus, quoting Isaiah 61 and Luke 4, 18 and 19, said, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And if the Son of Man shall make you free, you will be free indeed. That's what He said. What did He set you free from? Yourselves. You see, you would to have been crucified with Him and died, and you don't live any longer. It's Christ who lives in you. Did you know that? He set you free from the fear that is permeating our culture and our world today. Perfect love casts out all fear. He sets you free, if you will, from the fear of death. There is no fear in death any longer. The grave is empty. It holds no victory anymore. It doesn't. Does it? No. Not if you know the truth. Not if you know Him who is the truth. Because He was raised from the dead, right? He has conquered it on our behalf. He conquered Satan, did He not? He destroyed that element. And Jesus said, fear not, little ones, for I have overcome the world. Remember that? How about happiness? Happy, 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 I'm so happy, I'm so happy, I'm so happy, 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 I'm so, but come on, I'm so happy, put a smile at least, I mean, come on, I'm making a fool of myself, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. I know there's a difference between happiness and joy. Joy is reserved, it's incorruptible, it can be taken. Happiness to many people is too much based on circumstances and whatever. As far as life is concerned, no, I'm happy. Why am I happy? Because I'm a blessed man. The word blessed means happy. In Psalm chapter 1, I don't know if you memorized it, but this is my background. This is it. I have fed myself on this in the last 3 years. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scorner or the scoffer. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And his leaf shall not wither, and he shall bring forth his fruit in his season. And whatever he does shall prosper. But the wicked are not so. They're like chaff that is blown about. And they will not sit in the seat of the righteous. nor will they stand in the judgment of God's judgment when it comes. For God knows the way of the righteous, but he also knows the way of the wicked. He knows it. He really does. You know the Beatitudes? You know them? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. The word blessed means what? Happy. Happy. Have you ever just sat down and tried to recall within your mind all the things that God has given you to pursue? Have you? Well, let me just share a list. These are the things you ought to be putting forth all your energy and all your focus and all your desire in life, and you ought to be pursuing these things. You and I have been given an aspect of these elements. A love that cannot be fathomed. A life that will never die. A righteousness that can never be tarnished. A peace that passes all understanding. A rest that can never be disturbed. A joy that can never be diminished. A hope that will never be disappointed. A glory that is yet to be revealed. A light that is eternal within us. A light that is eternal within us. A purity that cannot be defiled because of the power and cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. An inheritance that is reserved, eternal in the heavens, incorruptible. There it is, waiting for you, this great inheritance that God has promised you and me. What are you pursuing? Because you're pursuing something. Everybody's walking a path of pursuit, right? So what are you pursuing? What are you really putting your energy? Where you're focused on? What do you desire? What do you want more than anything else that God can give to you? I want you to look back at the screen, at our text, if you will, Chris. Hi. Go up one. The one who desires what? What? One who desires life and wants to love and see good days. You got that? Then they must. You know what the word must mean? Okay. Must keep his or her tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away and from evil. I think that's in there. Must turn away from evil and do. I've been preaching on that. He must seek peace and what? Pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous? Zealous. Or what is good. He must seek peace and pursue it. That's what Peter says. Psalms 34:14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Proverbs 21:21. He who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life. Righteousness and honor. Romans 14:19. So we pursue things which make for peace and the building up of one another. You see, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Our ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is to bring two people who are at odds with one another, an enemy, and make friendship and build that relationship. And Jesus is our reconciler, isn't he? Isn't he? Isn't he? Yeah. And I believe a lot of people are going to lose their salvation because they have created an awful lot of unrest and disturbance and division and hurt and pain within the body of Christ. They are not peacemakers. We're to pursue it. We are to pursue it. We are to do everything within our power, within our energy, to be a peacemaker. And certainly God's people need to be at peace, not only with themselves, but with one another. And as the writer said, be at pursue peace for the purpose of doing what? Building up one another. I pray to God you've been encouraged today. I pray that you have been strengthened today, that you realize the gift that you were given to have been born in America and the freedom that you have to be here this morning and the aspects of it. When we read now in papers over in other countries where they're coming in and literally slaughtering people who have gathered in one place simply to say and to praise the God that they believe in. Right? 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 Are you at peace with yourself? You cannot be at peace with yourself until you have recognized and committed yourself and surrendered your life to the Prince of Peace. You'll always have that unrest. You'll always have that eternal and struggle and battle within you until you allow Christ, the Prince of Peace, to come in and become your peacemaker. That makes sense? That makes sense? Then pursue it as a Christian. Pursue it. Look at how peaceful she is. Would you want to pat my back? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, God bless you. Isn't it wonderful to have little ones in our services? And they know, because except you become as one of those little ones, you will not even see the kingdom. You won't even see it. It's there. It's there for all of us. So pursue it. Pursue the life that Christ has offered you. Pursue, if you will, the freedom that is in Christ. And pursue the happiness, the abundant aspect of that happiness that he promises us. But above everything else, wherever you go, think of what would happen in our marriages today if both husband and wife became peacemakers and pursued it within their relationships and with their children. I'm serious. God has called us to be a people of peace, hasn't he? And let's be those kind of people. Let's really be those kind of people. Let's pray.